Hi, welcome to Mortain Rambles On and On About Books. Today is Thursday, September 14th, and I'm going to give you a couple reviews of books that I read recently rather than ones from my archived. I want to talk about a couple of resources that I've been using lately. One of them is The Delicious Library. This is Mac OS X software. You can enter book information in it, and it'll look it up on Amazon.com and in other resources. You can even plug in your video camera and scan the barcodes on the backs of your books. I think using this software, it took me about 4 hours to enter in all of my 600-plus books, and it even has a lending library management component as well, so that you can look it up. You can look somebody who's going to borrow your book using your address book from, you know, your Macintosh address book. And it'll look it up and check those books out to them and set a due date, which will go on your iCal calendar so that you can just give them a call on that date. And you'll even be reminded when a book is due back to you. And the second one is called Library. I set it up so it would remind you of your dates for your library books. Anyway, so the second one is called Library Thing, and some of you probably are already using Library Thing. It's kind of an all-in-one Swiss Army knife inventory for your books into it, but it's not limited to Mac users. And it does import Delicious Library books in case you know, book lists, in case you want to just grab all those and put them in there. Some things that are cool about Library Thing, it can look up several different places, and it also has an API that connects to book swap sites like Book Crossing and Book Mooch, which is the third resource I want to mention. I know it's been mentioned on another book-related podcast this week, but I thought I'd bring it up just because, you know. It's bookmooch.com, and it's basically a book swap site where you agree to send out books that are in the inventory that you list on there. And when you send out a book, you get a point. Unless it's international, then you get 3 points. And when you request a book, you lose a point. So it's kind of it's supposed to be a one for one, but every time you add books to your inventory, you get extra fractions of a point. So it's kind of a neat little system. I've been enjoying it. There's a bunch of these book swap sites, but some of them are very handy and offer an API that plugs in with things like Library Thing and so forth. So, and Bookmooch does offer an API that if you wanted to, like, I don't know, write a script that showed your Bookmooch inventory in your blog or something, you could do that. In fact, if you look at this blog, you'll see my Library Thing inventory is actually like the most, you know, random or most recent is showing up on the left-hand side. So anyway, let me get into the reviews now. there are 3 books that I read. First one is The Sex Lives of Cannibals by J. Martin Troost. Now, a lot of people have probably already read this one. It's an entertaining travelogue of living on a tiny equatorial Pacific island for 2 years. I found this to be fun and a little silly and kind of sarcastic, so I found it really funny. I had a hard time getting into it at first, though, and it sat on my shelf for about a year before I finally read it. But once I sat down and started reading more than a few pages, I was totally hooked. I really enjoyed this because I'm planning on visiting Costa Rica and possibly moving there in a few years. And it really reminded me that when you leave the big city in America, a lot of times we kind of, you know, we go traveling someplace remote and we think, oh my god, this place is so backwards. Oh my gosh, you know, everybody knows everybody. Oh my gosh, you know, this is so small town. And, you know, my family lives in a small town, and I know the kinds of things that they go through living there because they weren't born there. Their parents weren't born there and they didn't grow up there. So for them, you know, they're always the outsider. And my sister has lived there now for over 10 years. She's still an outsider. She has children there. She's still an outsider. Her kids are still outsiders. She, you know, she had to switch schools for one of her children because he was being picked on for not having been born in that town. And it kind of, you know, The Sex Lives of Cannibals really brought home the fact that when you move to a foreign country, a third world country that is not industrialized, everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody's business. And just like in a small town, you'll always be the outsider. So it's kind of a good reminder of that. And, you know, for many people, that's okay. You know, if you don't mind that, that's fine. So the second book is The Lovely Bones by Alice Sebold. And this was a very beautiful, very haunting, extremely sad and cathartic book about a young girl and everything that happens to her and her after that. In fact, the first line of this book is that she was 14 years old when she was murdered, and it starts out with her in heaven. So it's sort of an unusual narrator in that she's not alive when she starts talking. So my opinion, the good. I read this book while camping a couple weeks ago, and I picked it up after browsing the book cover and on the recommendation of the two ladies that I was out shopping with. I came back to the campsite at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Mind you, sunset's at 8, okay, which is important to know since we didn't have like electric lights. I started reading immediately. Sometime around 7 o'clock, my husband came back from the trails, and I hardly even noticed him. We had dinner. My mind was entirely on the book. I finished the book at about 9 o'clock p.m., at which time he was actually in the shower. He'd gone off to the shower, and I looked up from finishing this book. I looked up and I thought, "Where is he? I have no idea where my husband is." I had no clue that he had the showers because even though he had tapped me on the shoulder and said, "I'm going to the shower," I was so impressed. I had no chance that I would be paying attention. In some ways, it reminded me of the Showtime series Deadline, but this one actually had a conclusion, and The Lovely Bones is nowhere near as jaded or sarcastic, so that means it's kind of not as funny. It was, as I mentioned, extremely cathartic. There, you expend a lot of emotional energy in reading this book. In fact, I would say that, and I'm going to skip ahead here to the ugly, in my opinion here, which is that it's triggering if you have any history of assault or abuse. As I was reading it, I started crying on page 20. As I was reading it, I thought, "There, but for the grace of God, go I." I was assaulted when I was a teenager, and reading this book just brought home, oh my gosh, this could have been my story. Except, of course, I wouldn't have gone to heaven, so I wouldn't have been telling this story. But this idea of letting this voice, this silenced voice, come through. I would say, in terms of the literary aspect, my main criticism of the book is that it doesn't get into any of the other inhabitants of heaven. Its other heaven characters are really just there as a backdrop, which is kind of unfortunate because Sibylle missed an opportunity here to give a lot of insight and depth to this story through the other inhabitants of heaven. She gets into all of the protagonists' characters, all of her living characters, her family and her murderer and so forth, but she sort of skims over the people that she met in heaven, and I kind of wish that she hadn't done that because that could have been a very interesting foil, and she could have really developed those two stories. The grade for this I would put is definitely an A. I can't decide if I want to keep this book forever for myself or if I want to share it with the whole world. So I guess I kind of am doing that right now just by telling you about it. Finally, the third book that I want to review is called Incompetence by Rob Grant. Now, what you got to understand about this for my American listeners is that it's not available in the United States. So you got to go on, go to the UK or get a friend to send it to you. This is an entertaining suspense novel set in a world where competence is no longer a barrier to employment, which enables a serial killer to work more or less unchecked until the protagonist comes along to investigate. What was good? It was very entertaining, particularly the first half of the book. I liked the fact that the protagonist is not Superman. He's kind of a pudgy guy, who's just a guy. The bad. The unfortunate thing about this novel is that the ending is a little cliche. I don't know. It wasn't very satisfying, and the rest of the novel just wasn't quite funny enough to carry me through the last 10 pages without. Understand? I'll forgive a lot in the last pages, but the first, 300 or however many pages before that, the first part has to be really good in order for me to forgive the last 10. The ugly. There were a lot of moments in this novel where I just flat out wondered if the narrator was reliable. The novel starts out in the United States of Europe, but by the end they're talking about the European Union. So the question that I end up asking is, was this just a shoddy editing job, or is a shoddy editing job very meta? Is it supposed to show sort of is it supposed to reflect that it's incompetence at work? Of course, the title of the book, the premise of the book is incompetence. Unfortunately, because the rest of the novel had so many flaws, having a shoddy editing job doesn't end up feeling meta. It just sort of ends up feeling shoddy. score grade for this is definitely a B. It's got some flaws, a little predictability, but it's otherwise, an entertaining read, and certainly, you're not going to notice any of these flaws if this is what you have when you're flying on an airplane, for example. It's a good little beach read type of thing. Anyway, that's Mortain's rambling on and on about books. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and I will see you online.